Hello, lovelies. Welcome to this episode of Lessons from the Universe with Jennifer Hall. I look forward to sharing my channeled message with you today. And if you love it, please remember to like, share, review, and subscribe. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law were over at the house on Sunday for my sister-in-law's birthday, which is lovely. Side note, I love birthdays. I think we should all totally embrace getting older. Anyway, that's not my point. My brother-in-law has always had a love-hate relationship with his job and recently had been pretty unhappy about it. You know, I hadn't heard him say anything good about it in quite some time. And so we're chatting on Sunday and I ask questions, as I tend to do. I say, you know, hey, how's work? How's everything going? And he said, it's good. I was like, great, that's good to hear. He said, no, you know, the only thing that changed was my attitude. And of course, a light bulb started going off in my head. I was like, yep, there's my topic for the week, right? Attitude is everything. And sometimes it's seemingly unromantic, right? I mean, basically he said, I'm going to be someplace for 8 hours a day doing something. And does it really make a difference how I have to do it, right? They had somebody come in and change sort of the way things were run. Somebody clueless, right? This happens a lot in all the industries. Happens a lot in IT, apparently. And, you know, somebody comes in who doesn't know what they're doing and they tell the people who do know what they're doing that they have to do things differently. Don't we all love that? And so we have a choice, right? Misery or acceptance. Maybe it takes longer. Maybe it's not as good of quality. Maybe whatever. But there are things that we do just have to do. We just have to do them. Attitude is everything. And sometimes, you know, you embrace the thing that you don't want to do and the way that you don't want to do it. And somebody comes around and then asks you, what do you think about this? What would you do different? But when we meet things with resistance, we never get that opportunity. What you resist persists. Most of you have probably heard that. What you resist persists. You're putting energy on it, right? Now, that doesn't mean you let horrible things happen. You don't resist those things. You stop them. Do you understand the difference? And so my brother-in-law had this aha moment that ultimately it was the way he viewed it, the way he thought about it, the way he approached his job that would determine whether or not he liked it. It is the jerks, the sexist, misogynist, racist jerk he has to work with. He can think of that person and make it such a disgust that it makes him hate his job. Or he can view that as separate, right? We somehow give people the power to suck our joy or to change the way we feel about things. I mean, if that's for the positive, great. But if it's for the negative, your attitude can override theirs. It's not our job to fix them, right? It's their job to fix themselves. Our job is to get to know us and to understand what is the lesson for me. Who am I becoming, right? So those of you who've been keeping up with the podcast know that I've been on quite the Eric Butterworth kick lately. Love him. An early major influence to me. And he actually has quite a lot to say about attitude. In the book, In the Flow of Life, he says this: if you are experiencing a challenge, you can take hope and strength in knowing that this too shall pass. But when it does pass away and you come out of the tunnel into the light, one thing cannot be overlooked. You will never be the same again. Resist the temptation to get back to the way things were. Remember that in the way things were done, there was a subtle storm brewing within you, and it finally erupted. No, no, we don't want to get back to the way things were. We want to grow, we want to change, right? We want to be more. He goes on to say that it may have been a miserable day, but it came to pass. It has provided you the challenge to reach for a higher level of consciousness. The sun sets eventually and brings on the release and the quiet of night, and tomorrow is another day. Yes, guys, every challenge, whether it's an annoying coworker, a physical disability, or whatever else, right? Heartbreak? These things are not here to make us suffer and struggle and cry, though they may. They're here to help us pinpoint where we need to grow. How do we become more than we were? He says, pause at the close of the day and look back to view all that you have done. Accept what you see as the facts of your experience, but they are not final. You are not done yet. You still have within you a dynamic potential for growth, and it must come to pass. You can quit having miserable days if you change your attitude. You can quit experiencing the same crap over and over again if you change your attitude, change your point of view. What do I learn? How do I grow? Maybe it's seemingly simple, like my brother-in-law. I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to think, I'm going to be somewhere doing something all day. It might as well be this, right? The task for the task's sake. Maybe it's harder. Maybe your heart has been broken. Maybe your body has been broken. We still have the presence and power. We still have the requirement to ask ourselves, what do I learn and how do I grow? How do I become a bigger, better, stronger person? We do that, and the bad days become fewer and far between. Attitude is everything. Attitude manifests everything. If you go into something expecting it to suck, guess what, lovelies? It is going to suck. I can't tell you how many times I have walked into something with my husband or a friend or some other mom or whatever, and we've had a completely different experience. Side by side, seeing the same things, facing the same things. Side by side. We have a different experience because of our attitude. It is everything. And sometimes it requires an unbelievable amount of empathy for someone else or for ourselves. I know I use my son a lot because he says really wise things. And I don't know if I've told you guys at any point in time about his little girlfriend. New girl to school, second day of school. Wants to be his girlfriend, and he says yes. He realizes after a couple of weeks that this is not something he wants to continue, and he breaks up with her. She's angry, right? She's hurt. My son says, it's okay that you're angry. When you're done, let's be friends. But this continues to go on for weeks, and finally he asks me for help. And so, you know, I talked to the girl's mom and everything else. And, you know, long story short, it was settled. But after I shared with him the conversation that I'd had on his behalf, he said, Mommy, I do feel better. And also, I feel badly for her. I feel badly for her that she doesn't know a better way to deal with her hurt feelings. Wow, right? Why can't we all think that way? We should all think that way, even if we're not the source of the pain that someone is undergoing. If they are hurting, I just had somebody the other day get really angry with me that she didn't have an appointment. She thought she did. She was taking over a friend's appointment, but it is my requirement that that individual contact me, right? And I'd said, have her contact me. We'll get everything finalized. She never did. The space got filled. She was angry. I could feel it, right? It was tingling on my skin that people get when they're so, so angry. And at first, I wanted to be annoyed. I wanted to be like, who the hell does she think she is? But you know what? Whatever was going on with her, that was the one too many things, right? Not getting that thing she was looking forward to or the help that she thought she was going to get. It was one too many things. And if that upset could come on me instead of her children or her husband or someone else, that's fine. I can handle that. Attitude. Is it just going to be me protecting myself and being afraid, worried, whatever comes when someone's upset with you? Or am I going to think like my son did and say, something else is hurting her today? I'll send her love and light instead. We have a choice. My husband's been recovering from surgery. He goes in and out of a good mood, right? When he views the pain as a sign that he's healing, he is easy. When he focuses just on the limitation, the inability to move around and all of those things, he is dark and sad. Like the weather has been for the past week. Does the weather bother you, lovelies? It does bother a lot of people. It used to bother me really bad. I used to call it seasonal defective disorder because I felt defective when the weather was bad. Again, attitude is everything. I'm able to get through most bad weather by thinking about that it's actually really good for the planet, right? The earth needs the rain. The animals and the plants need it. A break from the heat, whatever it is. Just recently, though, with my husband recovering and the gloominess that's been going on for days and days and days, it started to bother me. I had a choice, right? Do I settle into that annoyance, dislike, disdain? Or do I accept that this too shall pass? Do I sit with how I feel and recognize that that little touch of darkness will make the light seem greater? That it's not going to last forever? And I get it. I mean, the weather's not the same as mourning or whatever else, right? But it is a metaphor, isn't it? This too shall pass. We have recovered from everything that has happened to us, have we not? And if we haven't, it's only because we're not done yet. We're still learning and we're still growing. And if we're under attack, we have to remember that when someone lashes out against us, it's merely a shield. They are not ready to see what's brewing within themselves, and they attack. They throw shade. They throw darkness. We can be light anyway. We can be light anyway, and eventually we will break through without even having to try. Attitude is everything. It is cause and effect. And evil, beloved, evil, it's only concealed good. People hide behind their ugly because they don't know what else to do. In the Celtic Book of Wisdom, it says, Our lives would be immeasurably enriched if we could bring the same hospitality in meeting the negative as we bring to the joyful and the pleasurable. If only we could approach and interact with the seemingly negative with the same presence, power, and conviction that we greet the joyful and easy. Then we would grow at an immeasurable rate. We would multiply our understanding in a way that is far greater than it could have been before. Jesus said, "Love thy enemy." Well, he didn't say that the enemy was a person, now did he? Sometimes the enemy is circumstances. Sometimes the enemy is changes at work. Sometimes the enemy is health or whatever. That great adversary, no matter what is actually going on, is actually our human thinking. Attitude is everything. So how do we break through the negativity? What do we do? Clearing your energy is fantastic. Shielding is wonderful for those of you who know what these things are and know how to do them. But they are not enough. If you are not participating in the formation of your inner dialogue, you will fail. And so we have tools, right? Affirmations. Denials when necessary, right? You deny what is negative and you replace it with what is positive. Or sometimes you just need what I call thought exchange. Thought exchange is when we sort of diverge from the topic altogether. Sometimes we just need to set it down and do think something completely different just for a while. When it's really bad, there are mantras. One of my personal friends from high school just posted recently that she's going through a real struggle. Her kids are dealing with depression. Her husband is, you know, had some kind of accident. She alluded to perhaps alcohol was involved. She is feeling underwater. She has no power here to fix it or change it. I would argue she shouldn't want the power to fix it or change it. Highest good, right? Highest good, highest good, highest good. If it needs to be difficult for them to learn and grow, let it be difficult. But what does she learn? To let go. To trust the unfolding. To know the gloomy weather will pass and the sun will return. And maybe it will require days of that mantra. Highest good, highest good, highest good, highest good, highest good. As long as it takes, lovelies. If you can't change your attitude, change your inner dialogue, and they will catch up to each other. Prayer is cause and effect, right? It is our thinking. It's not begging God for something. It's claiming it. It's claiming glowing health before you have evidence that it is yours. It is claiming a peaceful home before you have evidence that it is yours. It is knowing you are worthy, living in that worthiness, enjoying the anticipation of its timely arrival. Attitude is everything. Eric Butterworth says that the purpose of prayer is to affirm in our consciousness that which is true. I am strong. I am confident. I am capable. I have the ability to do all that needs to be done. I am one with all sufficient substance. So I am secure and I am fearless, even in the face of adversity. Even in the presence of some asshole who's doing everything they can to make you feel like shit. You don't have to let them. You don't have to let them. What good are they concealing? What are they hiding from? A couple days after my son and the ex-girlfriend thing started to get better, she was snippy at him again one day. And somehow this genius 8-year-old says to her, "What's going on with you today? I don't think it's about me." And she started to cry and told him what was up. And he was right. You know, it's difficult to remember that things aren't personal. For you it is, but for every other person, their shit's personal too. And most people do not have the presence to remember that they are supposed to be learning and growing from everything that makes them irritated, defensive, even joyful for that matter. Attitude is important in the good times too. Don't be misled. If you expect the good things to leave, guess what? They will. If you don't appreciate them for what they are, if you don't recognize they are also opportunities for growth, the universe will choose not to teach you and guide you that way. Begin to look for the what do I learn and how do I grow in everything, especially, well, no, equally, the good and the bad. But if you can get it from the easy interactions, eventually, you will no longer need the difficult ones. They will not be necessary. They will float on by you like space junk, right? If your consciousness were outer space, it will be like that broken wing off some old plane. It just floats on by with no purpose and no power. And that's okay. I'm going to quote Eric Butterworth again. He says, "When you realize that evil is simply the concealment of good, then any person who is unloving, vicious, or unjust is actually a person who's good and doesn't know it. In a very real way, we can change him or her, at least as far as we are concerned. We can see him with a blind eye that relates only to the good and the true. We can salute her with the divinity within her. For us, he will be different. And if we expose her frequently to this kind of seeing, we will be a strong influence for actual change." We can't make people change, you guys. Most of you are adults and you've already figured that out. We can't make people change. In fact, the less we try to change them, the more likely they are to change. The more they are able to just witness what it is like to be somewhere close to someone who looks for the bright side, who learns and grows and moves on. That changes others. It's not our business if they're changing, right? That's not our job. Even if you're their spouse, even if you're their parent, all you can do is be the light you want to see in the world, right? Y'all have all heard that before. I think too many people write it off as not the multi-layered, unbelievable truth that it is. If you want someone to be more patient, be patient with them. If you want the environment to be more joyful, be joyful right where you are. Attitude is everything. You know, there are things that suck. I'd be lying to you if I said that there was ever a point in this human plane that there wouldn't be things that suck. It might be the weather. It might be your knees. Okay? I have a little bit of arthritis in my right knee. And I went to a few sessions of physical therapy so they could teach me some exercises to help make it stronger. Right, I caught it really, really early. No jaggedy bones or anything, so yay. Right, fixable. Guys, things are fixable. Don't ignore your body. They showed me a special way to step up and down the stairs. There's actually nothing special about it. It looks exactly the same. But the requirement is that you focus on your muscles, on your quadricep, your hamstring, and your glutes, right? And you think about that this is teamwork, right? It's not just one thing all by itself. It's not just the knee bringing me up and down the stairs. It's the entire leg and more. It's even the core for balance, right? This is what life is, you guys. Your whole life, your whole presence, spiritual community like this, the friends and family around you, the self to the self, the universe within you. We're a team. If we work together, we're all stronger. And there's as little pain as possible. Just like when I walked up that flight of stairs this morning. We got this, you guys. Attitude is everything. And if you can't be positive or optimistic, do call, text, or email that friend that you know will be annoyingly optimistic and listen to what they have to say. Study it, because one day they may need you to have the right thing to say, and you'll want to be able to be that person. I'm going to share one more quote with you. I need my glasses for this one. This is from the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying. Okay. And, you know, a lot of people really resist what is a seemingly simple topic of how we experience life and the attitude that we hold towards it. I think this is why I'm pulling in so many people other than me today. Because, man, I talk about crazy stuff with people. Unbelievable stuff, spirit and intuition and clairvoyance and all kinds of things. And yet the thing that people seem to resist the most is that they have the ability to choose to learn and grow and not greet things as if they're horrible. Attitude, right? So here in the book of the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying, this is what it says about negative experiences. Negative experiences are often the most misleading because we usually take them as a bad sign. But in fact, the negative experiences in our practice are blessings in disguise. Try not to react to them with aversion as you might normally do, but recognize them instead for what they truly are. Merely experiences. The realization of the true nature of the experience liberates you from the harm of danger of the experience itself. And as a result, even a negative experience can become a source of great blessings and accomplishment. There are innumerable stories of how masters worked like this with negative experiences and transformed them into catalysts for realization. Yeah. What do I learn? How do I grow? Is it necessary? Is it necessary for it to be hard? No, it's not. Is it necessary for me to feel that the universe is punishing me? For you to feel that nothing can go right? No. I mean, if you feel that way, if you're thinking that, indulge in it for a minute. There are plenty of people who will enjoy that with you. And there are times that I react to someone as a friend. I say, okay, as your friend, I'm going to sit here. We're going to be pissed off for a little while. And then we're going to talk about what do I learn and how do I grow? Because that shift in attitude will bring about the realizations and it will allow you to go back into the world and succeed. I have a teacher friend who has been struggling for quite some time at work. He needs a new team. He needs a new school. And it hasn't happened, and it hasn't happened for years. He hasn't been able to get the transfer that he wants. And he keeps thinking he's doing everything right. If he was, it would be resolved. Now finally it's coming to a head. A sharp and pointed and scary one, right? He's afraid of losing his job, and other things. It had to be bad enough. It had to be bad enough for him to really change his attitude and change his ways. Because each step along the way, he's done just enough, just as much as he wanted to do. But just like my brother-in-law, I'm realizing now, changes came about, requirements altered, and he has done nothing but fight them. Unlike my brother-in-law, who said, you know what? If this is what is to be done, I'll do it. And have a smile on my face. And so, well, I do think things are going to work out for my teacher friend. I'll update you when I know for sure. It's going to be messy. And he is going to have to rebuild his reputation. And he is going to have to prove that he is who I happen to know he is deep down. Right? Reveal the concealed good. It will be a battle. A just one. And for him, like you, like me, and all of us, attitude will be everything. Till next time, beloved. Namaste.
Hi, beauties. My name is Megan, and I couldn't pass up an opportunity to share who Jennifer Hall really is with all of you. Jennifer is a gifted woman who loves to share the tips and tricks of mastering lessons from the universe through real-life experiences. When I found Jennifer about 2 years ago, I did not know what to expect. My past conditioning had me fearing psychics and avoiding them, and that was something I overcame within my first conversation with Jennifer. She has no desire to control you or make decisions for you, but she will tell you what's best for your highest good, and it's up to you to do the work or not. It's very common for people to seek out a psychic to read the future, and sure, it's human nature to want to know what we don't know to find the certainty in life, but what you actually get through Jennifer is so much deeper than knowing with certainty. It's really about how to grow through the uncertainty and embrace the power each of us hold deep within our own sovereignty and untapped gifts. Jennifer has helped me grow through many lessons in life. Relationship lessons with my husband of 15 years, my gifted and stubborn children, career lessons that involved overcoming complacency and dealing with difficult bosses, and of course, lessons for my spiritual growth and tapping into and embodying my own authenticity. Her podcast, Lessons from the Universe, is food for the soul. It is channeled wisdom, and it is personal wisdom that she picked up as she learned and grew into who she is today. Jennifer is well known and sought out. I have people from all over the world reaching out to me to provide a referral to her so that she can speak with them and they're able to meet her. This podcast makes it possible for people all over the world to receive her messages and receive the love that she pours into the collective. If you aren't a patron today, please consider becoming one and donating as much as $1 per month. If all of her beloved fans donated just $1, it would make an amazing impact on her offerings to the world. I meet with Jennifer monthly, and I'm also a patron because I believe so much in the lessons from the universe, and I have witnessed the beauty in learning and growing, the beauty in overcoming and smashing the many bubbles of conditioning that I succumbed to in my past. I have a new, more powerful story, and a big part of this story is embracing lessons from the universe. Your story will continue to change, and your donations will help many others change their stories across the globe, allowing the story of the collective to change for the best as well. If you love and live through the lessons from the universe as much as I do, like, share, and become a patron, and watch Lessons from the Universe take the rest of the world by surprise in the best ways possible. Sending light and love to all of you. Namaste.
I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for this episode of Lessons from the Universe with Jennifer Hall. If you haven't already, come out and find me on social media. And if you're inspired by the podcast, please consider clicking that little green patron button at the top of the screen. Here, you can help keep us growing and flowing, and you can gain access to what I call Gen in Real Life. That is patron-only content. If you're wanting to learn more, I recently introduced educational sessions specifically to address people's questions that come up around the podcast. These are the only sessions available to new clients, and you can find details in the About section of my Facebook page. I want to send each of you light and love, clarity and wisdom, and know that whether you realize it or not, there's a little brunette with a podcast who's got your back. Until next time, beloved, namaste.